Let's pray together once more as we open our hearts to God's word. Father, I just thank you for the victory that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you are with us here in this place tonight. That you don't leave us on our own. But you are here, Lord, to strengthen us, to change us. And Lord, we believe that when we encounter you, that we are forever changed in some way. And Father, I pray that tonight, through the word of the Lord and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you do a work in us, that each one in some way be changed for the glory of God. I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about being strong on Sundays, and I just, well, felt like I just need to share a special message with you tonight about turning weakness into strength. Read a story about four preachers that got together to have a prayer meeting. And one of them said, you know, the Bible says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. He said, so I'll go first. He said, you know, when I go out of town, I always gamble. That's my weakness. And every opportunity I get, I gamble. The next one said, my weakness is that I hate working. I don't even work on my sermons. I just get sermons from other preachers and preach them like they're my own. And the next one said, you know, I love the ministry, but I hate the people. And the last one said, well, my weakness is gossip, and I can't wait to get home. Well, we all have them, don't we? We all have weaknesses, every one of us. In fact, if you're sitting there thinking that you don't have one, I can tell you one of yours. It's good old-fashioned pride. No, we all know we have weaknesses. You know, it's a real common practice of employers to ask job applicants to tell what their strengths and weaknesses are. And, you know, it kind of tells something about the person, just what they say and how they talk about such things. But one guy, he just listed all of his weaknesses, and he said the only thing he listed as his strength is he said, I'm really good at admitting my weaknesses. Well, you know, that's kind of refreshing to me because, you know, it's been a while since I looked at any resumes, but I remember over the years at different times that I looked at lots of ministers' resumes, and man, if you just believe what these people put on their resume, they're stronger than the Apostle Paul. I mean, it's pretty amazing. That anyway, moving along, but we all have strengths and weaknesses. Sometimes our strengths are closely related to our weaknesses. It's amazing how that can be sometimes. You know, you can be bullheaded and ornery, but when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of that, he turns it into perseverance, right? I mean, you can have a critical spirit, and the Holy Spirit can turn that into a spirit of excellence. Now, some of you with a critical spirit, don't start calling it a spirit of excellence. I'm just saying. But the Holy Spirit can turn what was a weakness into a strength. But we all have those. You know, before his conversion, the Apostle Paul, known as Saul, was a religious zealot that went around persecuting the church. And after his conversion and he came under the power of the Holy Spirit, then he was zealous, he was very passionate about his call and his purpose that God had given him. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, He said, I am the least of the apostles. He wasn't exactly bragging, was he? I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. I would say I'm not worthy to be called a pastor, but I don't want any amens, so I'm not going to say it. Because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It is God's grace. It's his power working in us that turns our weakness into strength. We need to always know that it is not dependent upon our own goodness. It's God's grace at work in us, but he can turn weakness into strength. He can empower the one who has been undisciplined and turn them into the most disciplined person. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying tonight, because I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of weak, powerless Christianity out there. And ours is not a powerless religion. No, ours has the power of God. And that power can truly change a life and change a person. And the very things, areas where they were the weakest, they can become strong. The one that wastes money and always in debt and never can seem to make ends meet. God can turn that person into a good steward and a great giver. God can do that. Y'all are kind of quiet, but he's awesome that way. He can change a life. He can change you. Now, some of you, I know that you're born again and spirit-filled and you've been in church a long time, but you might be like me. You might say, you know what? I hadn't arrived yet. I still have some weaknesses. And I want to encourage you tonight that God can turn those weaknesses into strengths. But powerless Christianity is not real Christianity. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, this is part of the list of things it tells us about the last days. It says it'll be terrible times. And here's one of the signs of the terrible times of the last days, that people have a form of godliness. They got some religion. By the way, I want to spell this out for you, because I don't want anybody to be deceived and fall into this trap. You know, it's real cool, it's real trendy in America right now to say, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And they have their own, that in itself is its own little form of religion. And I'm just telling you, it's kind of, here's what we need to know. The real thing changes lives, transforms lives. It's got the power of God in it. Any religion that's not about lives being absolutely transformed, it's not the true religion. They deny the power thereof. And he says this really strong statement. He says, from such people turn away. In the NIV it says, have nothing to do with them. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Have you been putting that into practice? He says, don't have it. Turn away from them. Don't have anything to do with those people. Those religious people that deny the power of God. See, here's part of what we see in our culture today. Well, you know, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, but other than that, I'm just like you. What are you talking about? We're supposed to be a new creation in Christ. We're supposed to be totally different from the world around us. Not just like everybody else, but we got Jesus' stamp on us. No, he transforms lives. It's weaknesses turned into strength. We all have weaknesses and struggles, but I'm telling you that it's in those areas of our life that his strength is made perfect. That's what he told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My strength is made perfect in weakness. For some, weakness, well, most of us have more than one, but maybe for some, anger is one of those, a short fuse. You never know when something's going to set them off. It hurts their loved ones. It undermines their testimony, destroys their ministry. For some, it's worry. They're always anxious and fearful. They don't have any peace. They're always upset about something. Some, they're always critical. They're always judging others. They're always finding the faults in others. By the way, let me tell you something about judging. Those that judge, they're the ones that are going to be judged. And they're not going to be judged by tongue waggers. They're going to be judged by God Almighty. And you know how I know that? Because my Lord said so. Be careful. Don't have that critical spirit. Some are always down and depressed and sad. Some, their greatest weakness is pride. Oh, how dangerous that one is, because it's when pride is your weakness, it's hard to ever deal with it because of pride. I mean, it doubles back on you. Some struggle with lust. They have desires that are contrary to the Word of God, and that weakness can enslave them to an addiction to pornography. Some, it's a chemical escape from reality through drugs or alcohol. Some, their weakness is greed or covetousness. They always want more. They're never content. There's a whole bunch of psalms right here, I'm telling you. It kind of goes with the American way of life, but they see what others have and they think they need a little more and a little more and a little more. Like old Zacchaeus, that little cheating tax collector. There was a man consumed with greed. He stole from people. But when Jesus went to his house, Zacchaeus said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anybody by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. I'm telling you that the Lord can turn weakness into strength. Here was a guy that was always trying to get, always taking from other people. And all of a sudden, he gave half of his goods, gave half of his wealth to the poor. What an amazing thing happened in his life. But I'm telling you that God can do that. For some, their weakness is an uncontrollable appetite. You ever been there? And for many, it's not what goes in our mouths, but it's what comes out of our mouths. I'm not talking about that stomach bug going around. I'm talking about the words of our mouth. Gossip and slander, lying, complaining. In fact, the Bible tells us, James 3:2, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. And verse 8, he says, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. No man can do it, but the Holy Spirit can. For some, it's envy. They're always jealous of what others have or what others get to do. For some, it's procrastinating. They're always putting everything off. We're going to get past this list of weaknesses, all right? So just stay with me. But you know what? This is a big weakness for a lot of people because it keeps them from achieving the things and accomplishing the things that God wants them to do. They procrastinate. They need to learn to swallow the frog. Anybody know what that means? That means that you get the thing you don't want to do, you do it first and get it out of the way. You just go ahead and quit procrastinating and swallow that frog. Oh, how can you overcome that weakness? I'm telling you, he can give you the strength to do it. But whatever your weakness, I'm telling you that he can give us the strength to overcome. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus is our example. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And what a great example Jesus is for us, because whether we understand it or not, the Bible tells us that in every way he was tempted like we are, and yet he didn't sin. But he sympathizes with our weaknesses. Now, I want you to know something. He knows how that feels. He knows your struggle. He understands what you're going through. That doesn't mean he wants you to stay there, though. No, he overcame so that we could overcome. And he wants to empower us to turn our weakness into strength. Now, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 through 10. We've talked about this passage a couple of times, but I want to read through it this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. The Apostle Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations." Now, he's talking about all of the great revelations. He'd gone up to the third heaven and seen things that he couldn't even speak about. And he says, to keep myself from being exalted above measure. He says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And there he says it again. He tells you twice why this happened. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And this was quite a revelation for the Apostle Paul. It ought to be for us too. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is not made perfect in our strength. You see, you need to understand that in the areas where we are the weakest, that is where God will show himself strong in our life. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities. Have you boasted about your infirmities, your weaknesses lately? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Almost sounds like a crazy guy saying that he takes pleasure in these things. But we need to understand. He takes pleasure in these things because it's in these very situations. It's in these type of weaknesses and problems and trouble that God shows up and shows himself strong on our behalf. The Apostle Paul says, when I'm weak, now listen to me. He didn't say, now when I'm weak, oh, I'm weak. I'm so weak. I can't win. That's what religion says. That's what the world says. And that's what a lot of Christians say. I'm weak. I'm weak. That's not the end of the story. He said, no, when I'm weak, then I'm strong because it's God's power in me. Oh, we got to know this. So how do we turn our weakness into strength? First, you got to ask for his help. James says you have not because you ask not. And I'm telling you, we need to ask God for his help. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, I've asked and it didn't do any good. Well, we need to talk about that for just a little bit. But I want you to see this, that the Apostle Paul said, I will boast in my weakness that his power may rest upon me. See, that power doesn't show up in our strength. He says, I'll boast in my infirmity, my weakness. And here's what I'm saying to you. You got to admit to God. You got to pray. See, we got to go to God and say, Lord, I need your help in this area. I can't overcome. I can't do this on my own. I've got to have your help. He said, this thorn in the flesh was given to him to keep him from being exalted above measure. And I want to say to you again, pride will keep you from being strong in the Lord. The Lord will not, as long as you hang on to that pride and you refuse to come to the Lord and ask for his help, you're going to be weak. Listen to this from James chapter 4 and verse 6. God resists the proud. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How did the Apostle Paul become such a great man of God? The grace of God. And who does he give the grace to? The humble. And so you see, when we come to him in prayer, we are humbling ourselves, asking for his help. And I'm telling you, that is the first thing that we have to do if we're going to be strong. Second, we have to believe. You know, a lot of people pray and they ask, but they don't believe. Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, whatever things you ask when you pray and believe you receive them, you will have them. You got to decide that God is big enough and good enough, strong enough to make you strong, to give you strength in that area where in the natural you have never had it. People always say, oh, experience is a great teacher. No, it's not. Experience is a horrible teacher, especially when it comes to faith. Because a lot of people have had the same experience over and over and over and over again. I can't. I fail. I'm weak. And so they pray, but they don't believe. Because they say, you know, I've fallen so many times. I messed up here so many times. This has been a weakness. Well, this weakness is not just mine. It runs in my family for generations and generations. We're not talking about your goodness. We're not talking about how strong you are. We're talking about how strong God is. And when you pray and you ask for his help, you got to believe you receive. If you don't believe that you can ever overcome with God's strength, with God's help, then you can't. You got to believe you receive. Third, I'm going to talk about this one for a few minutes because we need this. If you're going to have your weakness turned into strength, you got to walk in the Spirit. And I say I'm going to talk about that for a minute, and I hesitate to throw that out there because I know that today a lot of Christians have no idea what I'm talking about right now. And so we're going to read the scripture and we're going to talk about it for just a few minutes because it has everything to do with living the Christian life, has everything to do with being able to overcome those old weaknesses of our sinful nature. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 16. But let me just tell you this. Listen, we all have to deal with that old nature, that sinful nature. But if we're born again, we have a new nature. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Who's in you? The Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the sinful nature. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. In other words, your old sinful nature wants one thing, and your spirit wants something else. They're in conflict with one another. He says, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under that old law of sin and death. Listen, he makes it real clear here. If we walk in the Spirit, if we are led by the Spirit, we won't fulfill those old weaknesses, those old works of the flesh. Verse 19, he lists out these works of the flesh, and listen to these. By the way, this is a partial list, okay? You could just keep writing this list, but it's pretty long as it is, so we'll leave it at that. The works of the flesh are evident, that old sinful nature. Whenever he says flesh here, he's talking about that old sinful nature. He says, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty strong. All of our weaknesses are part of that old sinful nature. One way or another, they all fall under that old nature. But there's an answer. If we walk in the Spirit, if we're led of the Spirit. And I want to just talk about that for just a minute. You see, there's always times when the Holy Spirit will take us in another direction if we'll just yield to Him. I mean, our flesh wants to go one way. Our flesh wants to say one thing. And so often, we fall into that, and there's that weakness. But if we'll yield to the Holy Spirit, you see, a lot of the time we just kind of react to life. Our sinful nature, it reacts to the situation, the circumstance around us. But instead, what we have to do is yield to the Spirit and allow Him to lead us. Somebody says something that upsets you, and you know what? Or somebody treats you wrong, and you're thinking, I have the right. But what if you yield the right of way to the Holy Spirit? Something happens. Instead of that old weakness getting the best of you, you walk in the Spirit, and you don't fulfill the desires of the sinful nature. Let's read on. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. You see, here's what the Spirit produces. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, when we're walking in the Spirit, we're always obeying God. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're always doing what we're supposed to be doing. I want to read on verse 24 and 25. He says, and those who are Christ's, that's us, amen, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified it. What's that mean? That means you put it on the cross with Jesus. That means you don't let the old sinful nature run your life anymore. And let me tell you how you do that. Those that walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the desires of the sinful nature. You see, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge in your life. That's the only way. You're going to turn weaknesses into strength. I'm telling you, you're going to have to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to have His way. Verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The NIV puts it this way, keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, He goes this way, you go this way. He steps this way, you step that way. You stay in tune. You're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Instead of being tuned in to what everything and everybody else around you is doing, you're tuned in to the Holy Spirit. And if you stay in step with Him, I'm telling you, He will lead you. He will guide you. He will take you the right direction. And you know, when the Spirit leads, the selfish become loving. The down and depressed, they become joyful. And those that are anxious and fearful and stressed, they have peace. The short-tempered, the impatient, they become long-suffering. They bear with the faults of others. The rough and gruff and abrasive, they become gentle and kind. Those that have been ornery and ugly become good. Those that have been unfaithful and disloyal, they become filled with faith. They're faithful. Those that are always demanding their way become meek. And those with no self-control, they become temperate. Self is under control. You see, that's the fruit of the Spirit at work in your life. That's what the Spirit produces. Now, the fourth thing that we've got to do, if we want our weakness to be turned into strength, is we have to speak it. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He also said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I want you to understand something. He's not bragging. Well, he is, but he's not bragging on himself. He's bragging on the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the book of Joel in chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Now, hear me now. If you're strong in some area, you don't get to say you're strong. He didn't say, hey, you guys that are strong, man, y'all can really say you're strong. No. He said, let the weak say I'm strong. If you're strong and you go around telling people how you're strong and you got this part of your life together, well, you're a braggart. You need to go back and deal with the sin of pride again. He said, let the weak say I am strong. He's not telling us to boast. He's not telling us to be prideful. I'm telling you, the last thing this world needs is to see some Christians who are self-righteous and boast and brag. No, what he is saying when he says, let the weak say I am strong, he's talking about a statement of faith. He's talking about calling those things that be not as though they were. He's talking about believing God that when we're weak, we're strong because of Him. You let the weak say, I am strong. So don't ever say that you're strong about those areas where you know you're strong. You say you're strong. You say it in faith. That area that you have struggled and struggled and struggled, and that weakness that you've never been able to overcome, that's where you say, by faith, you say, I'm strong. I'm strong. Not strong in your own might, but strong because of Him, that He gives you the strength. But I want you to hear this now. This is really interesting. He says, say. Say. Not just wish. Not just think. not even just pray. He said, say. You need to say it out of your mouth. You see, if you've struggled with alcohol for 20 years, you need to say, I'm strong. Those days are over. I'm strong. Not boasting, not being prideful. No, your confidence, your boasting is in the Lord. That you know that He is a life-changing God and that He is well able to give you the strength you need to overcome. See, if you've had a terrible temper and you've just gone off on your kids over and over and over, let me tell you something. God is able. You need to start saying, I'm strong. I have self-control. The Holy Spirit in me gives me self-control. How do we do these things? It always has to start with prayer. It's in prayer we admit our weakness. It's in prayer we ask for God's help. It's in prayer that we believe. We believe we receive what things, whoever you desire. When you pray, you believe you receive. It's in prayer even that we yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, you may be driving down the road, but you yield to the Holy Spirit. You tune in to Him and you let Him lead and guide you. It's in prayer that we confess, that we believe, and we say, I'm strong. Let me give you an example. We've been kind of touching on one of these verses a couple of times, but Mark 11, 22 through 24, Jesus said, have faith in God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive, and you will have them. Jesus makes it very clear. This is part of our faith, that we speak it, that we say it. People always want to make this weird. Well, let's go out and move some mountains. Can you move a mountain? Listen, Jesus wasn't talking about doing signs for religious people. He said, it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks a sign. And he said, no sign will be given. This is for real life. Like those areas that you haven't been able to overcome. But by faith you say what the Bible says, and you say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm strong in this area. Pray. Look to the Word of God. I tell you, the Word will show you your weakness, but it'll also give you the promises that you need to believe, and it will strengthen your faith. And as you choose to live by the Spirit and you yield to Him, He gives you the strength that you need. The Apostle Paul was a very educated man, and he was very, very dedicated in his religion. And in the natural, in the eyes of men, he had a lot to boast about. He had a lot of ability. But listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 1. He says, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. He didn't go in great strength, in boldness and confidence. It was in weakness and fear and in much trembling. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And here's what I want you to see. He wanted their faith to be in the power of God. We don't want the world and the people around us to think, oh, what a great guy. He's really something. He's really cool. You know what? He's an awesome dude. I like him a lot. What we want is for people to think that our God is awesome. We want people to see that God has done a work in our life, that God is the one who makes us anything at all. It's His grace at work in us, not our goodness, not our ability, not our strength. That's why His strength is made perfect in weakness. So here's the last thing. We have to give the glory to God. Always give the glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29, he says, there's not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and the things which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? Why does God choose the weak? Why does He choose the foolish? Why does He choose us? So that no flesh can glory in His presence. That no flesh should glory in His presence. God gets all the glory. You see, it's not our natural strengths that glorify God. It's when His strength is made evident in our weakness. I know this is contrary to what the world says and even to what a lot of religious people say, but God is not glorified in our natural strengths. He is glorified in our weakness. That in those areas of our life, the very area that you struggle with, God can be glorified in it. You see, those areas where you're strong, guess what? Nobody's impressed that you're still strong in that area. But that area where you've always been weak and all of the sudden you have changed. God gets the glory. People sit up and notice. People want to go to your church because they've seen God change your life. God gets the glory. And I'm just telling you, your weakness can be turned into strength. God can do it in you. Well, I want you to stand with me. We're going to close with prayer tonight. And I hope that you will take this word and use it in your life. Overcome. Get victory. It's for you. Father, I just thank You that You don't leave us like we are. You love us just like we are, but You don't leave us there, Lord. And I know that it's Your desire and Your will for us to grow up in You. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that there would be a hunger, a desire in every person's heart here tonight to overcome, to get victory, to be strong in You. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that faith will rise in their hearts to be bold and to say, I'm strong. I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I thank You for it, Father. I thank You for the fruit of it, the harvest that's coming, that You may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.